Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. I'm so glad you're here. Our Father, we bless your name today. We're sitting here, just this huge group of women, and it's such a privilege to be in the body of Christ together. And Father, I pray this morning that you would take our lesson and you would teach us and you would challenge us and that you would bless us as we study together. I pray for our trip as we go. I pray, God, that you would make us to be a blessing to the women there. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak personally to us as we look at your scripture, as we hear your word taught. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, does everyone have a handout? If you don't, I have extras. We're finding ourselves in part three of a three-part study of a book called Habits of Grace by a man named David Mathis, Enjoying Jesus Through the Spiritual Disciplines. And we've been in it now. Let's see, I think I wrote it down somewhere. I think this is maybe 14th week, and that's because I'm so slow. So, you know, I hope I'm not going so slow that you're losing the meaning of the whole book, because that can happen. That's why you have to come every week, right? And I'm just loving exploring the many ways that grace comes to us through the disciplines of the Christian life. We're looking at three major categories: the Word of God, prayer, and now we're in part three, which is about fellowship. I'm calling it body life. Body life together in Christ. Now, fellowshipping and having communion and community with each other, it's really a great blessing, ladies. I think it's a blessing that we take for granted. It's a means of grace. I mean it. Oh, I had one other thing I needed to mention. Ruby Nan Mitkiff, you know, I mentioned last week about her husband. He's home. He's doing well. He's going to have surgery. He has broken his ankle and maybe a leg bone in two places, and they're going to be facing surgery. But she texted me yesterday to say that she has two things she needs returned to Jackson. If anyone is going to Jackson this week and doesn't mind picking up two things that need returning for her, that would help her so much. So see me if you think you could do that for her. Now, our physical presence together every Sunday, here in our church, all our different things we do, it's actually a great source of joy and strength for believers. Now, I'm going to be taking some information. I'm going to leave this book this morning, and I'm going to go to this book. This is a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I mentioned his name to you last week. He wrote this book about fellowship, and I got curious when I read his quote, and so I just went straight to Amazon and ordered the book, and it's so good, and I'm going to share some things this morning with you that I'm pulling out of that book. So if you ordered the book and you're saying, where did she get that lesson? Well, that's where I got it. Now listen, as Christian women, here's a fact about being a Christian. It means that Christ is in us. We are in Christ. There is a communion there with one another. And as you and I, who are Christian women, we meet together in a very real sense. When we come together, we're also meeting with the triune God. Now, that's sort of mysterious to think about, isn't it? But they come to me through you. I'm sharing Christ with you. You're sharing Christ with me. Just in our being around each other. Just living in daily fellowship with each other, it opens up tremendous riches in our lives. We forget how precious this gift of fellowship is. It's so easy to take it for granted. Now, I can promise you one thing for sure, that we would terribly miss each other if for some reason, say, something happened with my health this coming week and I couldn't come back. That could very well happen. Say some great upheaval happened in the world and for some reason everything shut down and we couldn't come back. Say persecution broke out against Christians and we had to go in hiding or we had to go undercover. We couldn't come back. If it were to be taken away, I promise you, you would miss it. Remember COVID? That was such a weird time. Couldn't come to church for a long time. You know, many churches never recovered after COVID. Many churches are still struggling because of COVID. But the fact that you and I are allowed to live in community with other Christians is such a gift of God's grace. It's something that I'm hoping this morning you would feel very grateful for. I read this statement. I want you to listen to it. It says this: fellowship with each other is like experiencing the roses and the lilies of the Christian life. And there you are, your roses and your lilies sitting out there. And the truth is, because we're in Christ, that means something. That means we belong to each other. Now, let's write some things down. Let's write down what it means. First, it means this. It means we need each other. We need each other. God's willed that we should seek and that we should find in His Word the witness of a brother and a sister. They're like a embodiment of the living Word walking around. Christians need another Christian who will speak God's word into your life. Say you're going through a season of discouragement. Have you ever been there? Have you? I have. Say you're going through a season you feel disoriented. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're uncertain about certain things. And here comes a sister in Christ. And they encourage you. They bring you the word of God. And that helps you. We are constantly bringing each other the message of salvation, the good news of Jesus. And Christ is in us. And the Spirit is our helper. He's our comforter. He's our guide. And we help each other. He's our power source. And I come to you and I remind you of this. And it helps you in your Christian walk. Let's write another thing on our handout. We need each other, but here's the second thing I want you to see. We minister to each other. We minister to each other. Now, before we became Christians, way back when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you and I were actually enemies with God. And we were also enemies with each other. And then here came Christ. And Christ opened the way to God. He was the mediator. He is the only one who can bring us to God. He reconciled us. That means He took away the enmity. And He made us friends. We were enemies. Now we're friends. Don't you just adore the gospel? You were God's enemy. But the good news is you can be His friend. He'll take away that enmity. He'll open the door to the very throne room of heaven where God is and invite you to come in and have fellowship there with God. Let's write it on our handout because it's such an important truth that I want you to see. In Christ, we have peace with God. But here's the the new thing, or the new thought I want you to add to that thought, it's also this. We have peace with God, but we also have peace with one another. So write that down. Because you see, when you are in Christ, you're baptized into Him. And you're not only baptized into Him, but you are into the whole body of believers. Now, what does that body look like? How does that body act? We're a member of a great big body full of Christians. It's a worldwide body. It's a body that crosses over the bounds of time. I'm sisters with Christians who lived way, way back, and I'm sisters with Christians who are yet to come. And one day, as a body, the church, the great church of all the ages, will stand before God together. But then I'm also a member of this particular body, right here, First Baptist Church. What does it look like? How am I to act? Let's go to Scripture and see. Look at 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Finally, Peter says, all of you. How many? All right, circle that word all, because I'm talking to you this morning. All of you live in harmony with one another. Not only live in harmony, but watch. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Love as sisters. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Instead, repay with blessing. So here we are. I think that describes the body in a nutshell. Here we are. We love each other. We serve each other. In Christ, we're bound together. As I said last week, He's the common denominator of our lives. Now think with me this morning of all that Christ has done for you. Think of all that Christ has done for us. You've been forgiven. You've been rescued. You've been redeemed, reconciled. I'm trying to think of all the words. You were saved. You were delivered. You're loved. You're blessed. You're guided. You're empowered. Think of Christ and think of how He served others. Think of what He's done for you this morning. Now look at me. All that He's done for us, watch, we owe others. You have a debt because of all that God has done for you. You have a debt to pay. And you are to be like Christ in the world. Go to Romans 15, 7. Therefore, Paul says, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. We're family to each other in Christ. This is significant. I'm loving us thinking about this together. Our community with each other is based solely in what Christ has done for us. It's not some wishful deal. What I'm teaching you this morning is a divine spiritual reality. It's based on truth. It's not based on what I feel. It's something that I can't create. It's a work that's created solely by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's placed us in the body. He's the one who gives us the fellowship. He's the one who binds us together. So here we are this morning. We're women. We're in Christ. We're saved. We're born again. And all of us are living on this side of heaven, right? We're not there yet, which means we aren't perfect yet. But God gives us the blessing of grace to be able to abide well with one another. Now, it's true. Some of you, it takes a lot more grace to abide with than others, right? Just joking. But aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for the body? Now, at the very core of our fellowship, of our community, is the next thing I want you to write down. It's the Word of God. That's the very center of our community. That's what we all are circling our lives together around. The Word of God. It is our light. We're children of the light. Look at 1 John 1:5 with me through 7. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, John says. God is light. There's absolutely no darkness in him. And if we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, well, we are lying, and we are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, look what happens. We have fellowship with one another. You see, as I walk in the light, as I'm circling the light of God's word, it's the light, and I'm walking in that way, then it says we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now, we were children of darkness, but now we've moved into being children of light together. And in the community of the Spirit, there burns this bright love of brotherly and sisterly service. We walk like Christ because he's light, we're light, and the Word of God is binding and ruling our hearts. Now, look at Psalm 133:1. I love this verse. Behold, the psalmist says, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, that feels like a breath of fresh air. He's praising life together. This is what it looks like when you and I circle our lives around the light of God's word. We have unity. We have peace. We have access to each other. We have joy, and we have deep fellowship. And it's a spiritual reality. So what is involved in living life together as the body of Christ? How do we do this well? And we really started looking at it last week. Very simple ways. Here's the first one that we discussed last week. It's listening well to each other. And I spent a whole week teaching you that lesson on listening well. I love that lesson. Now, did it help you? Because as we got through, I said, now you're going out of this room. I'm challenging you to listen well next week. Did you do that? Were you aware? But there's another way that we minister to the body that I want us to explore this morning together. Really, many ways I want us to explore. Here's the next one, and let's write it on our handout. It's this. It's the ministry of holding our tongue. Wow. This may step on your toes. Now listen, girls, listen. As a body of believers, we must be very careful how we speak about each other. This is a serious matter. Let's start with a verse out of James 3, verse 2. Look at it on your handout. Indeed, James says, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every way. Wow. Look at Psalm 50, 20 and 21. Why you sit and speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. That's God talking. And here's another one. And somehow I neglected to put it on your handout, but I want you to write down this reference because I want you to have it. It's James 4, 11 through 12. And just listen as I read it to you, because it's so good. How I left this one off, I don't know. Do not speak against one another. It just doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? He who speaks against a brother or sister, or judges his brother or sister, speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. And there's only one lawgiver, and there's only one judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And then go back to your handout to Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word come from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now look at me. It will take bukoodles and bukoodles of grace for us to live this way. Controlling our tones is hard. Would you say this if you agree with me? But what I'm going to tell you this morning is God's grace can help us. Teresa, help me. I want to make a very simple, powerful suggestion this morning. It's a way we can combat our tongues. It's a way we can fight evil thoughts. It's a way we can absolutely have victory. Well, what's that, Teresa? I mean, you know, well, let's just write it down. Absolutely refuse to allow those thoughts to ever be expressed in words. You're going to put a gate on your mouth. Your mind wants to say it. You're thinking these things, but you tell yourself, no, I will not let these words come out of my mouth. I won't let these thoughts come out. What thoughts am I talking about? I'm talking about anything that's unwholesome, not healthy, not life-giving, anything that's bitter, anything that's filled with anger, clamor. Do you know what clamor means? I had to look it up. I said, well, what is clamor? Well, clamor is just yelling and loud talking. And then slander. It's damaging statements that hurt another person's reputation. Judgments of others can be stopped. They can be smothered by never allowing them the right to be uttered. And who can do this? Well, it says in James 3:2, we just looked at it. If you can do this, that means you're perfect, because it's very hard to do. There's a verse in Proverbs that I love, and I was going to look it up, but I think in the Living Bible it says it this way. Only a fool blurts out everything they know. So many times you say, well, it's true. What I'm saying is true. Like, as if that gives us the right to say it. We don't say everything that's even true. We're going to speak only a word that blesses. Only a word that builds up. This is important in body life. When you learn to discipline your tongue and constantly stop scrutinizing, judging, condemning, analyzing other people, you free other people to exist as God created them to be. Each of us has a shining about us, the richness of God's creative glory. God hasn't given a sister to me, a brother to me, so that I might dominate him and I might control him and judge him and analyze him, that in order I might find in him the glory of the Creator. No, I'm not the Creator. I can't seek to fashion a person into an image that seems good to me. I've got to let go of that person and let God deal with that person. Give him freedom to be all that God has made him to be. I don't know what the image of God wants to do in each individual Christian person, because each of us is created. We're new. We're unique. I want to learn to marvel at the variety of God when I look at all my sisters in Christ. You don't have to be like me. I can enjoy your variety, right? So let's write some things down. God is calling us to, first of all, rejoice in others, and to, second of all, serve others. And see, we've been placed in the body, and we each have a particular place in the body. Teresa, why are you the teacher of Sunday school? That's where God has placed me in the body. And God has placed you in a different place. We're all like leaves in a chain. We all have definite tasks that we're called to perform for others. And here's something. See, the Bible speaks about the weak and the strong. Let me tell you who the weak Christian is. The weak Christian is a Christian who's very legalistic. And they're trying to keep the rules so hard. And the strong person understands grace. And they have freedom to enjoy their liberty. You get in the church, guess what you got? You got weak Christians and you got strong Christians. And they're together. And the weak Christians really get put out with the strong Christians. And the strong Christians really look down on the weak Christians. But the thing that we need to see is, together we experience the mercy of God. And as we do, it humbles us. It causes us to serve other people. It causes us to be willing to go down below with the lowly and the needy, because that's exactly where I was when God found me. Look at Romans 12:16 on your handout. There Paul says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And so here is another way we minister to the body. Let's write it down. Number three. It's the ministry of meekness. I'm trying to get a tickle. Meekness. You could use the word humility. Look at Romans 12:3. Here's what Paul says. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then verse 6 of Romans 12. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Don't be wise in your own estimation. I put a quote on your handout from Thomas A. Kempis. Have you heard of him? He wrote the classic Christian book. You probably have read it, called The Imitation of Christ. Have you heard of it? He was a 15th century monk. But I like this statement. Hey, Taylor, we're glad you're here. Good morning. Here's his statement. Let's read it together. This is the highest and most profitable lesson. Now, let's learn from this wise man this morning. He's going to tell us what, in his mind, is the highest and most profitable lesson. Are you curious? What would you say, Thomas A. Kempis, you wise old man who lived in the 15th century, and you were a monk? And you wrote that book that has sold billions and billions of copies all through the ages. It's been translated into every language known because it's such a good book. He says this is the highest and most profitable lesson. Truly to know and to despise ourselves. Well, wow, thank you. He goes on to have no opinion of ourselves. And to think always well and highly of others. That is great wisdom and perfection. Well, we can take a lesson from Paul. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15 there. He thinks of himself this way. He says, my sin was worse than anybody else's. Are you kidding me, Mr. Super Saint Paul? Why, he's my favorite Christian in the world. And he says, I was the worst sinner. The very worst one. Why, he's doing just what Thomas A. Kempis said. Think of yourself as the worst. Let's add another ministry that comes through the body. Here is another one. Number four. It's the ministry of active helpfulness. It's just giving each other simple assistance in everyday external matters of life. Why, you know what it looks like? It looks like somebody saying, I'm going to Jackson. I'll be happy to return Ruby Nan's clothes for her. That's just a way I can assist in the body of Christ. Isn't that easy? I mean, you just take petty things, outward acts of helpfulness. Yesterday, Sonia came over early. I was working on my Sunday school lesson. I hadn't gotten dressed. I was a sight. She needed chargers. She called me. You have chargers? Yes, I have chargers. Come get as many as you want. She comes over and borrows my chargers because she's having a party at her house. You know, it's just simple assistance. Why, sure, I'd love to let you use my chargers. That's what the body of Christ is all about, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's allowing your life, listen to this. I think I put it on your handout. It's being ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. In fact, we need to expect it. God's going to constantly be crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people that need us. It happens every day, doesn't it? You put your plans aside for someone else's need. We don't want to pass people by as we live our lives because we're just so preoccupied with our important lives and our calendars and our schedules, like that priest who was really beelining. He was an important man, and he had places to go and appointments to keep. He passed right by that poor Samaritan on the road because he couldn't stop. He couldn't defile himself. It's going beyond considering that our work is so important and so urgent that I cannot possibly let anything disturb my plan. I mean, we really do like our lives neat and tidy and orderly. Some of us are more type A than others. But we've got to train ourselves to think in a different way. We've got to understand, I don't own my life. I don't own my schedule. I'm going to give God the right to rearrange my day. And I'm going to learn to be in the moment with people when they need me. That's what body life looks like. We don't own our own time. We bend to the needs of our brothers and our sisters. Our hands are not too good for deeds of love and mercy in just plain old everyday helpfulness. Let's write another ministry down. And I'm going to call this one the ministry of bearing each other's burdens. And it comes to us in Galatians 6:2 very plainly. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? It's that I love. How am I going to love? What is that going to look like, Teresa? Well, you know what it's going to look like? I'm going to bear your burden. You're going to bear my burden. Our brothers are to be our burden. We must bear each other's burden. We do this in our earthly families well. For example, I woke up one day this week, and I was so busy, and I was running an errand, and I had to get there quick, and it was pouring down rain. I got in the car. Of course, I was late. I had a flat tire. A flat tire. Well, my husband cannot bend down. He has Parkinson's, and in the rain, put air in my tire so I can take it to the tire place. So who do I call? Well, of course, I call my son, Bill. He's my son. He's in my family. I don't call Sam. Sam never answers his phone. I call Bill because Bill is the one who is handy in our family. He knows where his tools are and he knows how to fix stuff. And I'm like, Bill, I have a flat tire. Can you come? You know, I don't mind sharing my burden with him. And then poor Bill, he got it again this week. Bill and I were coming home from Jackson, and the bottom was just about to fall out. That day when the rain was brewing in the late afternoon, and I have ordered this patio furniture set, of all things, off Amazon. And it's coming in boxes, and it has to be put together. Oh, horrors. Somebody's going to have to put that together. And it's huge, four huge boxes. It's all two chairs, a couch, a table. You can imagine. It's all in boxes. And they're sitting at my front door, even though on the Amazon I put, please put in my garage. They've never read that. So we walk up, the bottom is about to fall out. There are four huge boxes, can't even get in my door. Who do I call? It's a burden. I can't move these things. Big Pop can't move these things. Of course I call, who do I call?
Not Sam.
And Bill comes right to the rescue, brings Fisher and Seth, and they move the boxes to the garage. But see, that's what I'm talking about here. It's so practical. Think about Jesus. Now just think about Jesus. He bore the burden of all mankind in his body as he endured the cross. Let that sink in. He was willing to bear the burden of our sin in his body. He bore them as a mother carries her child. He bore the burden as a shepherd carries a sheep that has been found. He took it all upon himself. He was weighted down for us. And as he did that, he maintained fellowship with us. You see, it's the law of Christ that was fulfilled on the cross. And we've got to share in the burden of bearing. The Bible speaks many times about this bearing. In fact, the whole work of Christ could be summed up in that one word, bearing. It's what he did. Look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 with me. Surely, Isaiah says, the Messiah, our Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know, when you bear the burden of another, you are entering into the fellowship of the cross. And if any member of the body refuses to bear that burden, he's denying the law of Christ. You and I are not our own. We're part of a body. That's what I'm telling you this morning. And to bear the burden of another person, it means this: I'm going to get involved in your realities. I'm going to accept you. I'm going to affirm you. And so God takes us and he binds us together in a body. And some of us are weak in faith, and some of us are stronger in their faith. But here we are together, the strong and the weak, in a body. And we're living life together. We're bearing each other's burdens. And no one must be only about their own rights. You see, if a strong person falls, guess what the weak person is tempted to do? They're tempted to have a little kind of malicious joy in their heart because the strong brother or sister has fallen. You know that's true. And if the strong person falls, if the weak person falls, the strong one must help him rise again and help him in all kindness. We need each other. And we need to be patient with each other. Look at Ecclesiastes 4:10 on your handout. Woe to him, Solomon says, woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Colossians 3:13 really shows us what it looks like to bear another person. Look at it with me. Walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ladies, this also means we've got to be quick to forgive each other. Forgiveness is a big thing. We must not hold grudges. We've got to learn to let it go, let it go. Sing that song to yourself. Let it roll off. That's a part of bearing with one another. don't have a memory like an elephant that never lets go of things that have happened to them. Let them go. You see, there's such grace in this. This is how grace comes in the body. And so we listen well. We help each other. We bear each other's burdens. We do this together in body life. But here's one more to add. Let me check my time. Write this one down. The ministry of the Word of God. Oh, I'm out of time. Let me just quickly say, this is when I come to you and I bring you the Word of God. You come to me, you bring me the Word of God. It goes along with what I said earlier. We circle our lives around each other. And you know what? I learned something, and I want to say this. I can't fix you. You can't fix me. Only God can fix a person. Amen? Oh, we don't want to get involved in the ministry of fixing each other. No. We want to bring the Word of God to each other, and the Word of God brings healing. The Word of God gives direction, and that is what helps us. And then one more to write down, the ministry of proclaiming the authority of God. Let's just read Mark 10 quickly. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus made his authority in the fellowship dependent on brotherly service. So here's Salome. She and Mary are related. Her sons are James and John, the sons of thunder. And they're two of Jesus' disciples. She's so happy about it. The whole family's happy about it. Everybody, Jesus is the star, and everybody is circling around Jesus and their family, and she gets an idea. Why, I'll just go to Jesus. And she took her boys with her. And when they got to Jesus, they started bowing down. And Jesus said, what do you want? And I'm getting this out of Mark 10. And Jesus says, and Salome says, I just want, when you come into your kingdom. Now, you know your mothers would do this. When you come into your kingdom, I want you to let my boys look at them. They're so handsome. James and John, let one of them sit on the right and one of them sit on the left. Give them authority. Well, I can go around and tell everybody, my sons are on the right and the left. And Jesus said, Salome, you don't know what you're asking. And Salome, you don't know what you're asking. Are they willing to be at the bottom? Are they willing to be low? That's what he's saying. You want me to give them authority, so power, prestige, authority, that's what everybody's seeking. He says, no. The greatest will be where? On the bottom. Remember that. It's the authority of service. You will serve others. That is the way biblical authority looks. So here we are living this life together. Now there's much more to come next week, so you don't want to miss next week, right? I hope these lessons are helping you. Let's pray together. My Father, I'm so thankful for everyone that's here this morning and for what we're looking at, because, I mean, here we are in the body, and these things are so practical, and your word is so clear as to how we're to walk in body life together. Would you take these lessons? And would you use them in our lives, that we might serve each other well, that we might listen well, that we might bear one another's burdens, that we might take the last place in all humility. Lord, we know we find our lives, your Bible tells us, when we lay them down and lose them. And so may we be a fellowship here in our church that does these things well. May we enjoy the peace and the unity that is ours in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. All right. Sorry I kept you late. Bye.